COVID is surging across China. The rapid spread of the virus comes after China relaxed its previously draconian lockdown measures in a manner that experts say was too fast. And even as there is growing concern around the globe about this outbreak, the Chinese government has said little and given out little data on COVID. With the Communist Party holding back much of this information, data experts, satellite image companies, and journalists are using their own methods to try to understand how severe the crisis is. And it seems worrying. Our editorial partners at the Washington Post have been busy on this front. Post Bureau Chief Lily Kuo joins us for the latest. Hi, Lily.
Hi.
So, order of magnitude, is there any way to give an estimate of the difference between the central government's figures of how many COVID cases are in China compared to the reality, based on reporting that your team has done through satellite images, through social media, through interviews?
There aren't really reliable nationwide numbers for how many people are being infected and how many people have died. The government says that since December, when these COVID restrictions were lifted, that only 37 people have died. Our reporting, which is based on satellite imagery and interviews with funeral home workers and residents that have been to funeral homes, show that that number can't possibly be right.
And let me ask you about the reporting on funeral homes. Maybe first, there are some dramatic social media videos that are on your site and others of family members who are in these long lines outside. I wonder if you have an example or two of some of the most dramatic social media videos that really helped to show this story.
One of the accounts that really struck me was a man in Shanghai who his father died of COVID a month after he turned 60. He called the funeral home and they told him that it would be another 5 days before he could even get a slot to have his father cremated. So in Chinese cities, most everybody has to be cremated. And usually these cremations happen very quickly after death. So this family had to keep this body at home for 5 days. And this man, he went to wait in line the night before the day that the receptionist said that he could get a spot. And none of the family could attend the cremation. And they just told him that his ashes would be ready in 1 or 2 months.
And I gather from your reporting and others that some of these funeral homes have people on shifts 24/7. Their incinerators are on 24/7. Family members in some cases have 2 minutes to say goodbye to their loved ones before the next family has to come in. It just sounds a horrific scene.
Right. And 4 of the funeral homes that we talked to, they said that they weren't even offering memorials because it was so busy.
Wow. Okay, satellite imagery. There are a lot of pictures before and after suggesting how crowded some of these funeral facilities have become just in the last few weeks. One example is a line of white vehicles, potentially hearses, outside a funeral home in Nanjing in eastern China. As far as the people you talk to about all these vehicles, is that not normal?
Yeah, so one of the things that we were trying to assess is, you know, what was not normal. So there is an uptick at funeral homes in the winter, usually, and satellite imagery was helpful to establish that there were more cars than there were in winter last year. And then also speaking to the receptionists at these funeral homes, one person in Chongqing said that, you know, in the 6 years that she had worked there, she'd never seen it this busy.
And then as far as the government accounts, you mentioned how the central government is portraying this, but there also seem to be very different, potentially more honest accounts by local officials and provincial officials as far as percentages of people who are infected. Is there a big difference here?
One issue might be that the figures that are given nationwide are not being updated. I was looking at the latest national figures for infections, and I think it's only 500,000 for the entirety of the pandemic. But just this week, officials in Henan province, which is 99 million people, said that they had an infection rate of 89%. And, you know, in places like Beijing, which is 20 million people plus, I mean, they've said that the infection rate is 80% plus. Officials are citing these high numbers in part because they're saying that a lot of cities have already seen the peak, and the point of that is this message that the worst is over. So there might also be competing messaging.
From your reporting, speaking to people, how are they responding to this? Say family members who cannot get on the schedule for their loved ones to be cremated or only have 2 minutes to say goodbye. What conversations have you had with people?
You know, it's always hard talking to people when they're going through some of the worst things that have happened to them. And the man that I just mentioned in Shanghai, he told us that this was a big blow for his family. And another thing that he said that really struck me was that but his father had tested positive for COVID and died, but on his death certificate, the cause of death, it was listed as underlying disease. And this man said something like, you know, isn't that just a blatant lie? So I think there is a sense of frustration at the government response that is causing some of these deaths, and then also at the lack of recognition.
You know, I'd read that some Chinese nationals are also self-infecting ahead of Chinese New Year's, which is coming pretty soon, January 21st, 22nd. They want to go back to their villages, which is what people do over Chinese New Year, and they want to get the infection, have some immunity so they can go home, visit their elderly relatives without infecting them. Do you hear a lot of that?
I have heard stories like that, and I think it really shows the pent-up demand to travel in China and outside of China. And that also gets at the feeling of frustration and being sort of just shut in for so many years. And that's a sentiment that also drove the protests that we saw in China in November, which also led to the lifting of restrictions and where we are now.
And speaking of the lifting of restrictions, from far away, it still seems a mystery how this apparent U-turn happens so quickly. China just tends not to work that way. Is there any more clarity as to why the Chinese central government decided to lift so many of these restrictions?
So before the restrictions were lifted in December, there had been announcements that China would adjust the COVID policy according to the situation and that they basically would try to loosen things up more. And it seems that the protests just really sped up that process. Authorities have also said that to kind of hit back at this criticism that they did this very suddenly without thought and without preparation, health officials have said, no, we chose this time to open up and lift these policies because this is the least deadly variant that there is. And by opening now, this is actually the smartest thing to do.
And when you speak to public health experts inside and outside mm-hmm. China, is there a picture that you get as far as what strain is the dominant one spreading in China and whether there's any mutation happening?
Chinese health officials say that the dominant strains are the Omicron subvariants BA.5.2 and BF.7. And they've also said that they are taking samples of the virus every day to monitor for changes and that they're updating the WHO all the time about the possibility of new variants and that so far that what is spreading in China now is the same variants that we've seen elsewhere. But public health experts that we've talked to have said, on the one hand, the population is lucky that it's the Omicron variant that's spreading, which is less deadly. But then the unlucky side of this equation is that it's spreading very quickly. And because of the conditions of natural immunity in China being so low and the nature of the vaccines that most people have, it's spreading like wildfire.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that is a lot of people, because of the zero COVID rules, have not had the virus. And so they don't have that natural immunity. And of course, the vaccines, the ones made by Chinese companies, I guess statistically seem to be less effective than some of the mRNA vaccines in other parts of the world. That's Lily Kuo, right. Washington Post China Bureau Chief. Lily, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks so much for having me.